Your pastor has taken a big risk to invite me to speak. He hasn't heard me preach before. And I'm known to be a speaker that you are like a durian. You either like me or you don't. I conduct a number of pastors' conferences in different parts of the world, at least about 15, 20 times a year. And not surprising, you find halfway people stand up and walk away. Because not many people know how to listen to the truth. I really like the statement that Pastor Chris mentioned just now. This is our home. This is our home. How many of you can identify with that? How many of you can say that this is my church? Come on, wave at me. You say, this is my church. How many of you can really say that this is my pastor? You say amen to that? Hallelujah. Pass it on. Pass it on. I'm going to start off saying something that you may not like. Many of you here say, this is my church. You're right. Many of you here say, this is my senior pastor. You're right. Unfortunately, the church cannot say the same about you. Unfortunately, your senior pastor cannot say the same about you. I've been in the ministry for about 40 years. Many people call me pastor, but very few allow me to pastor their lives. There was a man who said, you are my pastor. I said, that's what you think. As long as you are not willing to allow me to pastor your life, I am not your pastor. You say, this is my church. May I ask, what have you done for your church in the last 6 months? Most of you, I would think, you did nothing. You think this is your church. That's what you think. The truth is, if this church cannot say the same about you, this is not your church yet. Pass it on. There are a lot of things we can pass on to a lot of people. But there are certain things in the church we can only pass on to sons of the house. It is like in the family. I've got two sons. Sometimes they bring their friends back to the house. Some of their friends are very good friends. They become not only friends of our sons, they become the friends of the family, our friends as well. Some of them, they are very close to us. They are free to stay overnight anytime, as long as their parents allow them. They are friends, not only of our sons, but of the family. No matter how close they are to us, there's still a big difference between friends of the house and sons of the house. Pass it on. There are things in the house that many of you will not be able to capture, possess in this house. Not for 5 years, not for 10 years, not even for 20 years, if you do not become sons of the house. We read the parable just now about the sower and the seed, and we know that parable very well. The parable talks about the different kinds of soil. We all know that talks about different kinds of hearts. But I want to talk about these different kinds of soil representing four different kinds or types of people in the house. Every house has that or those types of people. Applies to my own house too. Every house has the four types of people. The first type is what I call the pathway people. Pathway people, as Jesus said, they are like thieves and robbers. Thieves and robbers would come into the house. You say, wow, I don't think we have thieves and robbers in the house. Look at our security, it's so tight. We screen through everybody. But I'm not talking about physical thieves and robbers. I'm talking about spiritual thieves and robbers. You'll be surprised what people you have in the house. When you put them through the x-ray, the spiritual x-ray, you say, wow, I didn't know that we have got this type. And then who are these people? The Bible says these are the ones beside the road. Birds came and ate them up. They are the one whom whatever you say, however you say, whatever you teach and preach, however you teach and preach, nothing gets in but they love to come to the house. Why? Because they carry a different agenda. They carry a different motive. They feel that they have the right to be the check and balance in the house. So every time when the pastor preaches, they will have questions. Every time a visitor comes, they will have a question. Why the pastor have this man from Kota Kinabalu to preach this morning? And when they see something new, they question, why spend money on that thing? They always feel that they've been called to defend the kingdom, the defenders of the kingdom. You find that when they come to church, you marvel, you wonder, why do you come to church? I have got people like that in my church. And I set them down. There are about five of them. I set them down. And this became one group. They always gather together, you know, and they know who they are. And I said to them, I said, look, you don't like me, and I don't like you. I don't have to like you. You come, you're not enjoying yourself. And when I know you're here, I'm not enjoying myself too. You come, you benefit nothing. And when I see you, I also benefit nothing. Why don't you just leave and go to another church? I bless you. You know, there are some people, if you have been pastor long enough, there are some people in the church, the night before, you just pray that God make them disappear. Rapture them if you need to. Whatever it is, I wouldn't mind to have half the church, but not the five. You pay any price to get rid of them because they are useless. You know they come and steal the spirit of the house. They come and steal and rob the morale of the house. They come and only bring discouragement, not only to me, but to those sitting around them. During worship, they will sit down there, they will watch. When you say, read the word, they will don't. And when you preach, they will play with something else, some kind of gadgets. They want to show you, deliberately show you, they are not interested. Of course, you don't have these people in the house.
the Lord loves you so much. I don't know why the Lord loves you more than me.
They have no understanding and couldn't care less about the larger picture. They look at small thing and they make a big issue out of it. Thieves of the house. The objective is to steal, to kill, to destroy. But there's a second group of people. The second group of people called the rocky people. They are called the visitors. We don't have visitors this morning. I'm so glad our pastor, Pastor Tan, talks about we have honored guests in the house. So I'm not talking about our honored guests. I'm talking about those who have been sitting in this house for the 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, and who are still visitors in the heart. These are what the Bible says. They are the seeds that fell on rocky grounds. They sprout. They grow. But they have no roots. They have no attachment. They have so shallow roots that when the wind comes, it uproots everything. So you find that there is a section of people in every house. And maybe in this house. I said maybe because I need to be kind. Okay, let me not be kind. And there is a section in this house who have no roots. You have been here for the last 8 years, 10 years. Have you had any roots in any ministry? Have you had any roots in any relationship with any group? What roots have you? Well, I go there every Sunday, I take what I want, I enjoy what I like, and I go home every Sunday in and out. This is what it is. And what are these people? Here it says, their roots, it withered away. They come and go whenever they like. Sunday, if there's an event out there, and there is a kind of roadblock that sort of hinders them a bit, that they need to do a little bit of detour to come to church. They say, well, let's detour and go to City Mall. Or not City Mall. Mega Mall. We have City Mall back home. Now you have got Mega Mall. Ours is a mini mall, so yours is a Mega Mall. If they feel like it, they will come. If they don't feel like it, they will slip in. And sometimes they allow their children to decide. Children, do you feel like going to church? If you don't feel like, then we don't go. If we feel like, we'll go. Most of the time, the children say, we wouldn't want to go. We don't feel like going. That's why they ask the children. If their children always say, we want to go, they will never ask the children. Tell somebody, he's not talking about you. They get excited, but momentarily. They can get excited. You see, whenever we preach, sometimes we see, wow, they are really getting excited. We thought, this time we got it. We thought, wow, the Lord has done something this time. But the moment they walk out of the door, everything back as usual. Sometimes we preachers, we pastors get deceived. We introduce a plan, you know, let's have this project. And everybody say, yes, pastor, go for it. Yes, they got excited. We also got more excited. Only to discover that now they have no roots in the excitement. It was just for a moment. And these people, they are shallow in relationship, truth, and spirit. You see, like, if you've been here in this church for 5 years, how do you relate to the house? How do you relate to the house? Do you know any of the leaders, any of the pastors? You may know, I know Pastor Tan because I saw his name just now when he was up here. But does Pastor Tan know you? All right, you do not know any pastors. Pastors don't know you. Do you know any other leaders, cell leaders? You have no relationship with anybody. Anything that happens to you, anything that happens to you, nobody knows. You are just like visitors. You know nobody. Nobody knows you. When the pastor talk about, when the pastor just now say, you know my heart. My heart is for the pre-believers. We want to bring them in. If only we understand simple mathematics, 1 + 1 is not 1. 1 + 1 is 2. If only you know that is in my heart, you know, you will know what to do. I can tell you, more than 90% of them knows it in the head, but they cannot identify your heart with his heart. Why? Because that is the pastor's talking. There's nothing to do with me. That's why, well, I used that formula before. Every pastor used that before. It doesn't work. And it will not work. Because in the house, majority of the people are not fruitful. Why do I say that? Because Jesus said, majority of the seeds are not fruitful. Visitors never get themselves in any relationship with anybody, any ministry, any vision, any burden of the church. They just come and they just go. So you can be a visitor in this church for the last 15 years and still continue to be. And they never commit to the house. So if there's a commitment, visitors always think that the announcement is not for us. The announcement is not for me. It's for them. But you have been in the house for the last 12 years. No, it's for them, never for me. Visitors always sit down with this kind of mindset when the announcement comes. They are visitors. The third group of people are called the thorny people. Who are they? I call them members of the house. Thorny people are members of a house. Members of the house have a lot of demand. When they are sick, they expect the pastor to come and visit and pray for them. When they are in a situation, they expect the pastor to do something. Members. I had someone who first moved when we were a small church at that time. So when we were a small church, I had a bit of time to do visiting. There was someone who moved into KK. And when she was settling down, I visited her once. And after that, our leaders visited her to just help her to settle down. Now, after 3 months, we've been doing that every now and then for the last 3 months, 4 months. And then we didn't do it anymore. Then she began to complain. She said, since I signed in member, this church didn't care. This church didn't ever come to visit me. They came a few times, they realized that I am not rich. Because I'm not rich, they are not coming back to visit me anymore. We were away in the States when she made that statement. After that, I pulled her in the office. I said, excuse me, what did you say that I've been hearing? So she said, well, you started off and now you are no more. I said, look, when you first came in, we looked after you. Now it's time that you look after somebody. We have membership because of our constitution. But in reality, I'm not interested in members. If you are not sons of the house, move to another church who look for members. You are in the wrong church. Members are useless. They are there to demand. It's like I am a member of a golf club. And when I'm a member of the golf club, we come to a golf club with demands. Make sure that the car park is properly, the cars are properly parked, restaurants properly served. Anything that is not properly done, we would go to the complaint book and we'll write down the complaint. That's what members are for. Pastor, if you have got people who complain, they look at themselves as members of a church. What do members do? They come for personal growth and benefit. They think that, hey, I come to church, Pastor. It's your duty, your responsibility to nurture me, to teach me, to groom me, entertain me, make sure that I enjoy the preaching, the teaching. If I don't enjoy, I have the option to go to another church. There's a demand. You don't go home and talk to your father that way. In our Chinese culture, you talk to the father that way, you get a fivefold ministry across your face. Immediately. How many of you understand that? And members always, they shift easily in priorities and emphasis. They feel that, well, I have the right. I can be a member of this church. When I finish with my membership, I move to another church. They moved around. Why? Because the commitment can be short-lived. It says that you are like a plant growing. You're not dying. You're still growing. You still have life. You are growing, growing, growing. Not like those among the rocks that they die. You have life. But you have too many things that bothers you. Too many things that distract you. Your priorities begin to shift. You set everything, your personal agenda, your interests, everything around you. These are the ones that hold you back. So you're always thinking about yourself. For the first time, why don't you just step forward? Think for the church. In one of our AGM, someone stood up. He said, Pastor, I want to ask about the children's church ministry. You know, we pastors, we know our people well. We know who are the thieves and robbers, who are the visitors, who are the members, and who are the sons. I want to ask something about the children ministry. I said, excuse me, sir, when was the last time you were there in the children ministry? No, I've not been there. You have no right to ask. Sit down. Go to the children ministry next year for 6 months. Come back to me and ask your question. This is the problem with members. They feel they have the right to challenge. They feel they have the right to ask, whereas they never gave anything. Hey, I said to them, if you want to be sons of the house, learn to give. Stop taking from the house. Members, they do not die spiritually, but they are always unfruitful. You see them week in, week out, and they look better and better. And you see that they say, oh, Pastor, the Lord blessed me this week. Oh, Pastor, I was so blessed. Oh, I was so encouraged the other day. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. You got the blessing, you got the encouragement, you got the enrichment, you got everything, you got everything, you got everything. When is the blessing time? When was the last time you gave something back to the house? And when are you going to start giving something back to the house? You see, why the house of God is not growing, not expanding, not creating a kingdom move, because we've got too many in the house who are members of the club. If they are not members, then they are visitors. They'll be visitors there for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. If not visitors, then they are thieves and robbers. How many of you know that if you have a house full of this kind of people, your house will not have a future? All of a sudden, they don't understand English. When I started off, I thought they understood English. Now I ask a question. How many of you know that if in the house you have full of members, visitors, thieves and robbers, your house will not have a future? That's a reality. That's why when God called a person, from darkness into His marvelous light, the first thing God made it clear, I make you sons and daughters. Second thing the Lord made it clear in Ephesians chapter 2 is that while you are now sons and daughters, you are not refugees out there. You are not orphans out there. You now come together as a household of faith, as sons to the household of faith. If there's a household of faith, you have the Father in the house. That's why when we talk about coming together, we are not talking about thieves and robbers coming together and form a gang. We are not talking about visitors coming together and form a tourist group. We are not talking about members coming together and form a club. The church is the house of God, the gathering of the sons of God. Can someone say amen to that? And the Bible says, there are those seeds that would fall on fertile ground. And these are the people I call sons. Understand this. In this parable, there is nothing wrong with the sower. You don't reprimand the sower and say, sower, you don't have brains. Why do you sow seeds along pathway? Why do you sow seeds among rocks and among thorns? You don't have brains. No. When the farmer sows seeds, he will take the whole handful of seeds, he will just sow it. He did not take seed by seed and plant them. That's what sometimes members expect the pastor to do. Someone said, Pastor, you never visit me. I said, hallelujah. It shows that you have never visited me. I said, where on earth have you found in the Bible that I should visit you? I found you once when you were a lost ship. I brought you in, and the Bible said I should leave you aside and look for another lost ship. Where did the Bible say I need to look after you? If you get lost again, it's none of my business. You walk out, you walk away. And if you know that you are lost, you better walk back. I'm not responsible for your walking away. You don't understand what just in case, it is found in your Bible that the shepherd leave the 99 and look for the lost. Give God a big clap, come on. Sons of the house. Good soil, they grew and they increased. They multiply. It's not only 1 plus 1. It's not 1 plus 30. Wow. Why not? Psalm 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Even sons of the house, they have different degree of productivity. If you have a hotel, it will say that I'm making money. I said, wow, what is the percentage of the occupancy? You say 30%. I said, if you have 30% occupancy in your hotel, you are not making money, you're making a loss. Your production is not enough. Produce more. Wow, it's 60%. Well, 60% you just break even. Not good enough. You still need to produce more. More than 60, then you make a profit. Can I make a statement? It's okay, I'm flying off tonight. I can say anything now. Most of you, you don't work enough to justify yourself to be a member of this house, let alone to be a son of this house. You don't contribute enough. Most of you don't produce enough even to sit and to have the right to sit on such comfortable seats. I'm flying off tonight. It's okay. What are true sons? True sons are planted, rooted, and fruitful in the house. You are planted means specifically. You are planted means purposefully, intentionally planted by somebody. You don't grow wow. You are planted where you are, specifically positioned. There's someone specifically positioned for certain job, certain ministry, certain influence, certain impact, certain aspect of the church, specifically. A lot of times we want to do what we want to do. We don't allow us to be planted. No, true sons. It's like the Bible says, blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. Sons are like arrows. Arrows do not select itself. It's the father who select this arrow. If I pick you, I pick you. If I don't pick you, shut up, stay there. Do you understand that? But nowadays we find that I want my right. We have no rights. We have only responsibilities. Someone say amen to that. You know, in 1 Chronicles 28, David said to Solomon, David had Solomon, he had Absalom. Absalom was a son, but he didn't know how to behave as a son. He wanted to be a son desperately, but he didn't know how to behave as a son. Solomon was the only choice that David had. But David also knew the problem about Solomon. David knew that the way that Solomon knew God, the way that Solomon worshiped God, is so different from the way the father worships God and the father knows God. This is where I want you to understand. If you want to be true sons of the house, you must come to know God the way the father of the house does. You compare the God whom you worship, compared to the God whom the father of the house worship, you'll be surprised when you compare. It appears as if it's two different gods. If only the house would know God the way that the father of the house know God, this house will be different. That's why true sons would know God the way their father does. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? They serve God. True sons serve God the way their father does. That's why David said to Solomon, know the God of your father, serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. It's your mind that you serve. It's your heart that you serve. It's not your talent. I was just talking to my son yesterday. My wife and I, we were talking to him. He's here to look for a job. If you have a job, offer him a job, please. We said to him, look, son, reality is when you go out there, forget about your talent, your skill. Your talent and skill is useless because there are people, many people, most of them out there are better than you. Show them you have the character that they don't have. Show them you have the attitude that they don't have. Then you will excel. David said to Solomon, it is your heart. You see, when the church puts up, step out, love God, serve people, make discipleship, many, many in this house would just re-understand here. It does not touch the heart. If what has been said, what has been imparted, what has been promoted as the mission, the vision, the mandate, direction, purpose of the house, whatever you call it, what the house wants, if that does not touch your heart, you are far from being sons of the house. You are just members of the club. Sons of the house serve the way the father does. And son of the house pursue God the way the father does. You understand that? One more. Only when you become sons of the house, then you will inherit the legacy of the father to build the house. Someone came to me and said, Pastor, I want to be in the ministry. I said, wow, that's good. I said, why? He said, God has called me. Oh, that's very good. God has called you. And I said, what can you do? Well, Pastor, I do whatever you tell me to do. I said, okay. Now I'm going to tell you to do something. Tell me, what are we building as a house? I don't know. Well, if you don't know what you are supposed to do, then you are not fit to serve in the house. Because I'll be employing somebody who wouldn't know what to do in the house. You don't know what we are doing. You have been in the house for so long. You have been growing in the house for so long. You come to the point, you say, God, call me to minister in the house, to build the house with you, but you don't know what we are building. If I am saying that I am building a condominium, you say, I want to work for you. You ought to know that I am building a condominium. You are helping me to build a condominium. You don't change my condominium into a chicken house. You don't even know what I'm... You say, you want to work for me. You know what I'm doing? I'm a contractor. You know what I'm doing? I don't know. You know I'm building a condominium? I don't know. What can you do? I also don't know. I just know that I need to work for you. Hey, you failed in your interview. Sons of the house would know what the house needs. It's not only this house, our own family the same. We struggle in raising children because now our children frustrate their parents because they sometimes come home like thieves and robbers. Some of them, I heard that they come home, they take things out to sell to buy their drugs. Even in the house, sometimes they come as visitors. They come, they don't bother anything. They just come as if they're visitors that need to be served. The moment they come back, the mother say, "Have a drink, son." Look, don't pamper your son and make them visitors in the house. You're going to regret it one day. Some feel that they come to the house as members. I have the right to demand, "Where are my shoes, mom?" "Well, I didn't wear your shoes." "Where are my socks?" "I didn't wash your socks." "You should wash your socks. You should keep your socks." You see, they come back like members of the house. They keep demanding. Hey, if you have sons like that, they are useless. But when sons come back to the house, they see that, hey, the table is not properly arranged. They come and arrange. They make sure that everything is done properly. Mom is too busy. You don't need to be asked. You know exactly what to do in the house. It's called sons of the house. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? And my time is finished. And those who are watching on television, you can switch it off now and while I continue the second session. I just want to read a passage of Scripture to you. You see, the thing is that the father of the house wants the house to build, wants every son of the house to build a house together. But he cannot use members. He cannot use visitors. Certainly, he cannot use thieves and robbers. He can only use sons of the house. Can someone say amen to that? You need to be planted in the house. If you are planted in the house, you find that you have spiritual authority. You flourish in the cause of the Lord, and you will still yield fruit in old age. In other words, you are fruitful. You are connected. Full of sap and very green. You have life and health in the house, even spiritually. To declare that the Lord is upright, you always carry testimonies of the house, of your life, of the people, of your pastor. And you have security and stability. Be sons of the house. I'm sure some of you were thinking about yourself when I was sharing this. And you were thinking about your cell group. In the same, the cell group has all this variety of people, colorful people. Whatever you were thinking, if the Spirit of the Lord this morning really touched you in some way, saying to you, "My son, my daughter, this morning is a time for you to take a step forward. My prayer is that there is obedience. My prayer is that there's humility within you to submit yourself to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And my prayer for this church is that as you go on, Pastor, you and your team able to expand sonship in this house. You find that the more sons you have in the family, the stronger you become. The more sons you have, the more grace you carry to encounter whatever storm, whatever enemies that may come along the way. Because understand this, God is not interested in you and you alone. God has a bigger picture. God wants to bring His kingdom. As Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And the way that God does it is through the house of sons. Not members, but house of sons. And my prayer is that there are sons, many, many sons in this house. Let us arise to our feet. I just want to pray for you. If this morning, I want to pray for two. I want to pray for the sick later on, but I just want to pray for this before I do that. If this morning you feel that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you about your situation, there is time for you, a good opportunity for you to step forward and say, Lord, I want to step forward to be sons of this house. I'm sorry that I didn't know, I didn't realize. But now I begin to understand a bit. I begin to understand better. And this morning, you are saying in your heart that I want to step forward. I want to become sons of this house. I want to be involved in building the house that you are building. If that is your desire, that's your heartbeat, that's what the Spirit of the Lord is prompting you to feel and to do this morning. As I pray, I'd like you to, as where you're standing, I'd like you to just raise up your hands. Raise up your hands to the Lord. As you raise up your hands to the Lord, raise up your life. Raise up your spirit. Raise up all that you have on the inside. I want to pray that God will impart His grace, His favor. God will impart the Spirit of sonship upon you. That as you go forth from here, you're going for the sons of the house. You're not just going forth as just a member of DOMC, but you're the son of the house. If you have such conviction this morning, raise up your hands right now. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray. Oh, I pray in the name of Jesus, thanking you, Lord, for these lives, for these hands. Lives and hands raised before you, willing to step forward to say, Lord, I want to become sons of this house. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, even right now, you take each and every one of these lives, each and every one of these individuals who are standing before with their hearts raised before you. Take them, make them, Lord, to be sons of this house so that they could form a movement, the movement of your kingdom in this city. I pray in the name of Jesus, even right now, that, Lord, you take their lives, cleanse their lives, take their lives and transform their lives. Take their lives, fill their lives with the Holy Spirit. Take their lives, fill their lives with your truth. So as they go forth from here, they go for the sons of the house. Being planted, being rooted, growing together, knitted together into a holy temple for the dwelling of the Lord. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for this house, DOMC, the house that you have built so wonderfully. And in so many ways, you have shown and demonstrated your grace and your provision. I do pray that in the name of Jesus, you cause Pastor Chris, Pastor Stella, and the pastors and leaders of this house to rise up even stronger under your grace, under your favor, and under your anointing. Let this place, Lord, grow strong from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And this I pray in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone say, and everyone say, come, everyone say, amen, hallelujah.